You're not going to play with that right now.
I wasn't going to play. I'm trying to.
It's
so damn much stuff flying around here.
Don't get me wrong, Steve. I'm trying to keep track without violating my word or my honor. Not that I have any honor left. Jesus, I got nothing left. Whether being on the poor, on Iwo Jima, yeah, or Tarawa.
Open work session on 2581. We stripped out probably the best idea of the session. Those are the
A9s. Chair, I'm sorry. I moved the A9 amendments to House Bill 2581.
And this does everything we need?
Yes, Mr. Chair, members. That takes out the initiative to May issue, and it adds in the Senate Bill 216 fix, and it also has conflict.
Terrible. When we could have done something for
the could have done something for the Senator Cordy moves the A9. Further discussion, objection. So order.
Chair, I move House Bill 2581 as amended. Senate floor, due pass recommendation.
Senator Cordy moves 2581 as amended to floor with a due pass recommendation.
Good job.
Oh, wait a minute.
What's wrong? What happened? Which one?
Yeah.
Hey, did we move the primary to September in this bill?
Just
no.
Playing with it.
Oh, no, we didn't. Jason.
I'll stick him in on the other side.
He's got to go. Harper's got to go. The 2581, we're done.
We can do that. Yeah. Objection?
No, okay.
Okay. So ordered. Get those in over there.
I moved it, yeah, I moved it. And I said, move the floor, ask him to do fast recommendation. Then he did.
Thanks, sir. Open work session 2828. Bill? Oh, you guys want minority plan this one?
Yes.
I'm
going to move the A5 amendments. You'll shoot it down, and somebody else will move.
All right.
Ready?
Getty?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Bill Perry with the Oregon Restaurant Association, and we are the ones introducing the A6 amendments. And in essence, the A6 amendments are compromise language that we have reached with the governor's office in relation to the smoking, statewide smoking bill, as you guys dealt with in 3953 and sent on. Just to quickly run through what the A6 amendments does. In the section one on the front page of the bill, it sets up a place of employment definition taken from the Multnomah County smoke-free ordinance workplace and adds it to then section two deletes the current Clean Indoor Act and installs it with the bolded language. And section one, subsection one, talks about banning smoking in places of employment as in the first definition, and then section two lists exemptions from that. Those are retail tobacco places, which is tobacco shops, restaurants posted off limits to minors and areas of restaurants posted off limits to minors, bars and taverns that are posted off limits to minors, addressing bar and lounge issues. Bingo halls are the D. E is bowling centers. F is hotel and motel rooms designated smoke-free. And then the G is language taken from the Multnomah County language also that sets up a possible employee break room that you can allow smoking if a non-smoking break room is available. Section 4 down towards the end of the page deals with the preemption part of it. Says local government may not ban smoking in areas listed in subsection 2 unless they were passed by a local government pre-July 1, 2001, which includes every ban that has been voted on to this point at the time. Some of them have not been enacted yet, but they have been voted on. Then the other change in the bill was the last change we were waiting for, as a request from the governor's office in section 7 on the last page. He felt the $100 in a 30-day period was not a sufficient enough fine to prevent people from complying with the law, so we asked for an increased penalty that would be $50 a day or up to $1,000 in a 30-day period, which we have told them we are fine with.
Yeah.
I'd be happy to answer any questions.
And what were the changes, Bill, from
39-53? Chair Harper, members of the committee, our bill only dealt with a ban on smoking in restaurants. This would obviously extend the ban to other workplaces. And because it was extended to other workplaces, some more exemptions were applied, which are the retail tobacco motel rooms, the smoke-free lounges, and there was one other one. No, and then they separated the bar and restaurant in two. So, and then obviously the penalties, and the date of enactment was moved from last time that it only included Corvallis, now it includes or grandfathers in all existing ordinances.
Yes, you know, help me. Where is this controversial thing, you know, which comes down to the bar restaurant combination? It's in, I think, your sixes, but excluded in the fives. Can you, because I don't know who's, I think you're going to be the only witness here.
Chair Harper, Senator Courtney, that would be page number three, or actually the absolute bottom of page number two, starting on line 31B.
We're in A6, is your amendment?
Yeah. Starting at the bottom of the page B and finishing at the top in line 1 and 2 on page 3.
So this is the kind of restaurant where it isn't off. You can take a minor, it's just that they can't go to certain parts of it. Is that right?
Yes, Chair Harper, Senator Courtney, yeah, this would deal with what you might commonly think of as lounges, areas of restaurants that would be posted off limits, but...
they have a lounge, the kid can't, but they can't.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Thank you. I just wanted to. That's.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. Representative Rosenbaum, Representative Worth.
That's it?
That's
it.
Wow.
I'm not kidding. I'm really, unless I've been misled, that's where. That's going to be the minority report, is that piece.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, and good afternoon. I guess I think it is. Yes, hard to keep track. I am Diane Rosenbaum, representing Hess District 14 in Southeast Portland, and I am here today to express my serious concerns about the amended version of House Bill 2828 that's before you. My written testimony is being passed out, and with it is also a letter from Multnomah County Chair Diane Lynn, which is very brief, so I would like to simply read it into the record if that's okay. Dear legislator, please vote no on House Bill 2828 and defend the right of local communities to make important decisions about their lives. Every community in Oregon is unique. The needs and desires of Ashland residents are different than those of people who live in Ontario. These differences are particularly vivid in balancing the rights of smokers with the rights of those who suffer the ill effects of secondhand smoke. In Multnomah County, we have approached this issue with a process that has broadly included all of the constituencies and points of view on these controversial issues. We have had multiple well-attended public hearings. We set up a task force that included representatives of the restaurant industry, bingo parlors, bowling alleys, along with health advocates and ordinary citizens. There have been dozens of hours of discussions, negotiations, and compromises, and we are justifiably proud of our efforts. A vote on House Bill 2828 is a vote against local control. It is a slap in the face to the hundreds of citizens who have been involved in helping to craft the best compromise that balances everybody's rights and responsibilities. On behalf of the citizens of Multnomah County, I urge you to preserve local control and to vote no on House Bill 2828. And, Mr. Chair, I'll be brief, but I would like to add just a few more comments of my own to that letter. I would say that I have heard very much in this building that the Multnomah County ordinance is being held up as a model that should become a statewide standard, and that we will be doing enough good by passing that law and applying it statewide to balance the effects of denying local communities the ability to go to a higher standard. I would tell you, as someone who hears from a lot of my constituents, that their expectation has always been that that Multnomah County ordinance would at some point in the future be revisited and would be expanded. And I fully believe, as somebody who's worked with and represented as a union official, as well as a legislator, people who work in a lot of the workplaces that are not covered by the Multnomah County ordinance, that those people too feel that they should be entitled to the protections from secondhand smoke that if we adopt this statewide preemption, they will never be. I'm confident that we will likely never have a statewide law that exceeds this. So I simply would urge you to be very cautious. I know it's late in the session. I know it's late in the day and that this bill is before you for the first time. But I urge you to not do this. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Senator Courtney, you've got some dash fives that you want to talk to.
Well, it's my understanding, Josh Oliver, not the legislative team, please to come up.
Yeah, Josh.
Would you come up, please? I don't mean to delay you, Mr. Chair, but I want to be sure we're accurate as to what's going on here, because there are some amendments in front of us, dash 5, dash 6.
For the record, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I'm Josh Alpert, Oregon Health Leadership Against Tobacco. Do you want me to summarize the dash 5s?
Oh, and why don't you tell me what the difference is between the two?
Essentially, there's one big difference, and that is that the dash fives would include, as part of the smoking ban, the restaurant bar combo. The rationale behind that is if you go to a restaurant like a TGI Fridays that has a bar in the middle of the restaurant with walls about this high, you can still sit a family with children right next to that bar and have smoking going on in the middle of the bar and have it dissipate throughout the restaurant, much like putting chlorine into the deep end of a pool and having it dissipate to the shallow end of the pool. Our efforts around the Dash 5s was to make this statewide preemption as strict in terms of protecting children as possible, and we felt that putting in the restaurant bar combo into the protection would be a step in that direction. The Dash 5s also would put into the ban bowling alleys simply for the fact that children frequent bowling alleys quite often, and we felt that as a place of recreation for children, they should be free from tobacco smoke. There was also a slight change in the definition of what an enclosed area is. I believe in the dash sixes, it defines them as solid walls or windows, as well as partitions, which are, I believe, inclusive of screens. And so we just chopped that off to make it just solid walls.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, sir.
So in terms of where you would direct our attention to the differences, under Section 6, Section 8, page 5, it's simply by not listing bowling alleys or the kind of restaurant you talked about, the restrictions apply. Is that it? In effect, by not noting them in Section 8, that's how these restrictions apply to the bowling alley and to this, what you call, surround-around restaurant, or whatever you want to call it.
Chair Harper, Senator Courtney, that's partially correct. We did put into the exemption standalone cocktail lounges or taverns and then defined them on page 2 at the top. That way, the actual restaurant bar combo is just not listed as an exemption, but the standalone is, so that's where the distinction is. And we did not put in bowling alleys within the exception, so they're therefore covered.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay. You want to move your dash fives?
All right, Mr. Chair, I would move the 8-5 to House Bill 2828, please, Mr. Chair.
Okay. I object. Further objections? Senator Atkinson, Senator Minnis object. Okay. Motion fails. Would you like to move the dash sixes, or do you care?
I would have to move those.
Senator Minnis moves the dash sixes. Further discussion? Okay. Motion carries. And Senator Minnis, 2828
is amended. 2828
was amended before the Senate. Excuse me, Mr. Chair. I need to rescind the subsequent referral to Ways and Means also. The bill as it is now.
I'm amending my motion to rescind the fee.
And Senator Minnis rescinds the subsequent referral to Ways and Means. Okay, further objection? Two objections?
Yes.
Senator Courtney, Senator DeMeyer object.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Motion carries.
Chair,
I need to know. That's just not moved the Ways and Means. That's going to, he hasn't moved it yet to the floor.
No, he just
moved it. He's going to.
We got to know. No, yeah. Not scary.
Where do you sit?
Close work session.
Wait, hold on. You had, did you move it?
Yes.
To the floor?
Yep.
Well, you voted, it was two no's, right?
Correct.
Notice and minority report, please, Mr. Chair.
And with the notice and minority.
Yes, please, I want to thank you. I'm sorry, Mr. Chair. I thought.
All right. Close work session, open work session, 3045. Gary, who else?
Why don't we just do this?
This is our last building, isn't it?
Let me see what I
can do. No.
Say something.
I don't have no money. You know what I mean.
Senator Courtney.
Gary, I think this thing is wired, but I got to ask you a question. Does this make you more susceptible, or interested in perhaps talking school size?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Courtney, for the record, I'm Gary Conkling, representing the Beaverton and Hillsborough school districts. We certainly agree with you that smaller schools would be better. We're trying to find sites for 2,800 kid high schools.
You want 2,800 student high schools?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Courtney, no.
Right.
My son is going to one, but that's the size of school that we're building, and we can't find sites for those.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Gary.
Okay, everybody's on board?
Mr. Chair, I'm going to move. House Bill, I got my reading glasses on because I made 30, House Bill 3045A engrossed to the floor of the due pass recommendation.
Senator Courtney moves 3045A engrossed to the floor of the due pass recommendation for the discussion. Objection. So ordered.
I think maybe you're either your secrets or your Hartung's really carry that. It's in Washington County versus the
Washington County? We'll make Senator Hartung carry it?
Yeah,
good. We'll show him, yeah. Closed work session, open work session, House Bill 3920.
What happened to 3126?
They're out yelling, screaming, shouting, getting their act together. You told them to go out in the hall.
Skip Rick, okay. I changed my mind on 3920. Work session 3451.
Chair, I move House Bill 3451 to the floor with the due pass recommendation.
Senator Courtney moves House Bill 3451 to the floor with the due pass recommendation. Any discussion, Marjorie?
Former Representative Joseph here, if you'd like to hear from him.
No, I listened to him for almost 2 years.
Well said. Well, that's not nice. He'll feel bad he came all that way, and you got Representative Lane Hobson here, too. I mean,
would you guys like to talk, or would you like us to move this bill?
Move the bill.
Okay.
I trained him. I didn't train Lane, but I trained him. Well, no, I didn't train him either. He's always trying to butcher me.
I don't know how you train. How do you train Josie?
I didn't train him.
How do you do that? All right. You sure? Here's your last chance. Okay, objections. Very none, so ordered.
Sure. I might recommend that Senator Dukes might carry this because.
Senator Dukes, and she's not here either.
I think it's true.
No, I agree. Senator Dukes will be the carrier.
She's probably politically correct.
Yes.
And make you look good. Make you look good, buddy.
That's a full time job.
Yeah.
Close work session, open work session, 4001. 4001. That just makes
you owe me,
look at them get up and go.
Elaine, you owe me.
This is the plastic deal.
Kind of a good. I'm getting brash.
No,
you're
yo-yo.
You can argue with that.
Russ Spencer.
This is ready to go.
Is this
ready to go, Marjorie?
This amendment is this.
Lyndon.
Lyndon. Get up here and defend yourself.
We go out and sit in the grass.
Mr. Chairman, for the record, Bill Linden, representing the Oregon Metals Industry Council. This amendment to House Bill 4001 was discussed with Mr. Spencer. He is in agreement with it. It simply adds to the definitional language in the bill. Molding work that is done on customer-owned molds. In other words, the bill as written deals with a mold that is totally constructed by one of the affected entities. This would also include a mold that is brought into the manufacturer for changes, and that's all it does.
And this means something to somebody?
Yes, it does.
Believe it or not, yes, it does.
Senator Menace.
How does this affect art casting businesses like American Art Castings or...
Mr. Chairman, Senator Minnis, I believe it would be to the advantage of any casting operation, because typically the person that does the casting, or in our case, Russ Spencer on behalf of the American Plastics Council, for plastics manufacturers, we typically do not own the mold. We simply produce the product.
I'm familiar with this. I own some molds.
Okay, so...
Metal casting. So let me... I take one of my molds to an art casting firm. What?
Correct.
Tell me how this works.
Okay, assuming you pay your bill, this would never kick into play. Assuming that you take the product from the manufacturer and do not pay your bill, then the manufacturer would be able to place a lien on the mold and hold it until the lien had been satisfied.
You want me to pay my bill?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Minnis, I'm sure that's never been a problem with you.
Oh, brother.
All right, one time I was late with a credit.
Is that okay?
All right, we have a dash one.
Mr. Chairman, the dash one amendments to House Bill 4001.
Senator Courtney moves the dash one to House Bill 4001. Further discussion, objection. So ordered. And Senator Courtney moves House Bill 4001 as amended for the due pass recommendation. Discussion, objection. So ordered. Yeah, this will go with my ornamental water feature bill. What you think?
There you go.
Okay. I think I'll carry this thing. Or do you want it? You have it?
Okay. I can do it if you want. If you want a hero bill, go for it.
I got to add to my ornamental water features.
Okay, but I don't think it counts as a green vote.
Closed work session, open work session. Kevin, are you here for the insurance bills? Did you guys hear that they're inside meeting someplace, 3126? Okay, and you don't want to participate? They'll probably screw you if you don't show up.
No, probably about it.
All right, open work session 2934. Scott West. Michelle Deister.
2934, where's that now? I reckon. 2934.
Yeah. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Scott West, and I'm here today representing the Oregon Lodging Association. House Bill 2934A that's before you today simply establishes a fair and consistent statewide framework to deal with the costs associated with collecting local transient lodging room taxes. Currently in the state of Oregon, there's 94 jurisdictions that have local room taxes of all different rates and of all different uses. Most of those jurisdictions allow a collection fee or a reimbursement charge to pay for the costs associated with collecting those taxes, credit card fees, labor, et cetera. Several jurisdictions in the state of Oregon do not allow a collection fee up to 5%. What this bill simply does is grandfather the existing collection rates at their existing rate. In jurisdictions that do not allow a collection fee up to 5% at the next time they raise their local tax. Thanks.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, Michelle Deister, League of Oregon Cities. The one comment that I would like to make is that rather than have this bill retroactive to January 1, 2001, that it perhaps, a better date might be July 1, 2001, just in case there might be some folks out there that we're not aware of who would be affected by this bill.
Too late. We're going home tomorrow. Senator Courtney. Courtney moves 2934A and goes before the due pass recommendation. Further discussion, objections. So, Senator Beyer objects. Okay. So ordered. Let's see. Senator Ackerman.
You betcha.
You're a big tourist town down there. Closed work session, open work session, 3406, House Bill 3406. Who's here for that? Ryan?
Mr. Chair, for the record, Brian DeLashman, representing the Oregon Council of Police Associations and the Federation of Oregon Parole and Probation Officers. I'll be extremely brief. This bill corrects statutory error that has compounded itself over the last 20 years when we did community corrections and moved folks from state parole and probation service to local jurisdiction service. The first statutes were supposed to follow them. They did not in one case. In
Thank their Brian, Senator Courtney.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 3406.
Thank you.
And then it goes to the DuPont recommendation.
Senator Courtney moves House Bill 3406, engrossed before the DuPass recommendation. Further discussion? Objections? Hearing none, so ordered. Anybody need an ask me, Bill? Okay.
Police officer?
Oh, police officer. Yeah, we need to. Yeah, we got a police officer here. Okay, got it. Closed work session, open work session. 3712.
Oh,
yes. All right, after 3712.
3712.
Okay, well, you can be the single source of information for this, then. Anybody else want to talk? Come on up. You don't have to. Okay. Well, I do need League of Oregon Cities.
Close it on the word shall. Yeah. That's where that's going to come down. Shall.
Yeah. Okay. That's fine.
Change a word.
They just.
Yeah. I don't need all of you guys. Just
been a minute ago.
Yeah.
Let's just do it.
Yeah. Representative Backlund.
Thank you, Chair Harper. Chair Harper and Senators, my name is Vic Backlund. I'm a representative from District 33, which is North Salem and Kaiser. I'm here to speak on behalf of House Bill 3712. And
Representative Backlund, Senator Courtney.
Chair, I move the dash 83 amendments to House Bill 3712.
Please repeat that, please.
Mr. Chair, I remove the dash 83 amendment to House Bill 3712, Coach.
You guys okay? This is the shell to me. Mm-hmm. Everybody's on board with that? Okay. Senator Courtney moves the 83s to 3712. Discussion, objection.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 3712 as amended to Senate floor of the due pass recommendation.
And Senator Courtney moves 3712 as amended to the floor of the due pass recommendation. Discussion, objection. So ordered. Now, you want this too? Senator Courtney's dying for it.
I want to get this. You had enough.
He doesn't ride bicycles. I ride bicycles.
No. I want the bill.
Hey, he doesn't ride bicycles. All right, I'll write you for it.
Both of you guys can carry it.
Oh, there you go. I love it.
Take it.
He gave up.
Take it. Take it.
Closed work session. Open work session. 3224. Representative Crummell.
Don't they already have to do this?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Jerry Crummell, House District 27. Good bill. Should
Chair,
pass. Truth
I'm
and budgeting.
I'll
answer any questions.
And goes to Senate floor. Due pass recommendation.
Senator Cardi moves House Bill 3224 to the floor. The due pass recommendation. Further discussion. Objection. Hearing none. So ordered.
Testimony. Courtney wants that one.
Thank you, Representative Crummell. Carrier?
Don't look at me.
Oh, I'd be that's right up your alley. Pass bill.
Huh?
Senator Beyer can carry that one.
Whoopee.
Closed work session. Up.
Why is he laughing?
Get him out.
What's
wrong?
He's cracking up.
Where are we going now, Coach?
Why not?
What are you doing?
Okay. Nope. We'll do it tomorrow.
Thank you.
Okay.
I heard we're on the floor.
Thank you, sir.
Okay.
Let's go.
All right. Open work session. House Bill 2280.
Well, this is the next one.
Baseball bill. What is it?
The baseball bill.
Oh, yeah, this is the...
This is the amendment. Move the amendment.
What's the amendment? What's the amendment?
Amendment.
No.
Mr. Chair, I move the 82 amendments to House Bill 2280.
PG Park. You okay?
Chairman March, 4th City of Portland, we support this.
Okay. Thank you, March. I appreciate that. Let's see. Okay, Marcia Kelly.
I didn't even have the amendment.
Well, the amendment's the back of it. The back of it.
I didn't get the amendment.
Chair Harper, members, Spinney Marsh Kelly, Women's Rights Coalition. While I like sports, watch sports, I don't think it's good public policy to give away taxpayer dollars that can be working for human services to somebody who is a private entity making money on a sports facility, even if it's owned by the city of Portland.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Not a home run, a foul ball.
Well, dash twos. I moved it already.
Oh, did you?
I moved, didn't I?
Senator Courtney moves the A2s to 2280. Further discussion, objection. So ordered.
Member of House Bill 2288 as amended and sent forward to Dupesh recommendation.
And Senator Courtney moves 2280. Yes.
Please all vote for this session.
As amended to the floor to Dupesh recommendation, objection. So ordered. Okay, which one of you guys wanted a baseball bill?
You might give it to the. You might give it to Ryan, although maybe that's. You can't say phase no.
Well, that'd be salt in the wound, wouldn't it?
Yeah, no, you can't do that.
This is a Portland deal. This isn't the Washington County deal.
Give it to Minnis.
Give it to Carter. Give it to Carter.
Carter?
Yeah, Carter.
Okay. Senator Carter, this is kind of fun.
There you go. Good. There's the one when you beat the crap out of the fish bill.
3120.
Oh, you got
3920. Okay, 3126. They came up with an amendment, so we won't get it today. We'll get it first thing tomorrow on all those insurance bills.
Will we have time to move to the floor if we pass it?
We didn't. It didn't come up.
Bam.
We'll think of walking through, so it'll be okay.
Is that the insurance thing? Which one?
On what? Yeah, we'll bring them all back tomorrow. They had a small amendment that they've got all worked out. Right, Rick?
Right.
And we're not moving until we get the amendment printed, so 3126 will be tomorrow.
Can they come back tomorrow?
Is there, do you guys want to testify and not come back? Is that an issue with you? Anybody? Sure, come on up. We'll put it on the record then. Yeah, that's good, Phil.
Chair, Senators, thank you for this opportunity to talk about one concern I have with 3126. And, of course, this was amendments that were printed as of today, and I got a call from one of my representative friends who's been concerned about this issue. And it involves on page 11, number D, and I want to point out that I'm here at my own time and expense as a consumer.
A6 amendments, which
yes, A6 amendments, page 11.
I need you to identify yourself, if you would, please.
I'm Dave Bolton, and I'm here as an insurance consumer today on my own time and expense.
Yeah, go ahead, Dave. Sorry.
Okay. Number D changes longstanding statute 742.003 by adding number D under this section does not apply to. And these are for forms complying with specific requirements regarding delivery or issuance for delivery in the state established by the director by rule. My concern is since the beginning of the insurance code, we have had regulators that have industry experience and several designations that come from industry that review products and make sure that they're fair and equitable and don't contain exclusions and limitations that are harmful to consumers. What we heard in committee is that they wish to have, by rule, to be able to change this kind of review to what's called a file in use or a use in file from prior approval. This means that basically nobody would be looking at the insurance contracts, or at the best, they would be looking at insurance contracts on the back end after potential harm has been done to the consumers. We saw from managed care changes in contracts can certainly change and harm consumers. And my concern is especially this is dealing with coverages like life insurance where the consumer is paying the premium out of his own pocket. either for group under voluntary coverage or for individual. And some people, like my grandfather, paid individual life insurance for over 40 years. And we want to make sure that we continue to have that kind of regulatory review. And, of course, the question is, what are in insurance contracts that the industry wants to make sure that they're not looked at too closely? And that's the real issue.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. We'll close that public hearing on 3126, open work session 3920. Nancy? John Minnis, where are you? There you go. No, I don't think so, but I just don't understand what it says.
3920, the bottom of the first page.
Is this the beat up the fish bill?
No, that's coming.
That's coming. That's coming.
No, this is the Save the Kids bill. Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, members. Nancy Miller from the State Court Administrator's Office. Thank you for hearing this bill. Very briefly, this bill makes certain changes to the juvenile code. It makes child abuse and neglect records confidential. They are required to be confidential by federal law. It clarifies the definition of Indian child based on a Court of Appeals case that found our current state definition unconstitutional. And it allows attorneys to retain records that they are given in the representation of children. Secondly, the Dash A8 amendments do two fixes to bills that have already passed both houses. The first fix is a bill to House Bill 2336 that dealt with juvenile court appeals. It is already law, and what it was a Judicial Department bill, so it's a little bit embarrassing, but what ended up happening was that it eliminated certain issues that could be appealed unintentionally. So this now makes clear what orders of the court are final orders and what can and cannot be appealed. It also makes a change to Senate Bill 419.
Chair, I move House Bill 2920 amendments at the minute of the Senate for the DuBash recommendation. I'm sorry. Mr. Chair, I move the A8 amendments to House Bill 3920. I apologize.
Senator Gordy moves the A8 to 3920. Discussion objection.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 3920 as amended Senate for DuPass recommendation.
And Senator Gordy moves 3920 as amended before the DuPass recommendation. Objection.
I was watching you, Senator. I was going to quit talking a lot earlier. Thank you.
You care? Okay.
Guess I will scream in.
This work session, open work session, fish clubbing.
Jeez.
Representative Crump.
All right.
3809. And Jensen.
Mr. Chair, if I might, like to ask Ken Evans to join us also. Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. For the record, I'm State Representative Jeff Krupp, and Representative Betsy Close and I bring to you House Bill 3809. The reason we're doing this is an issue very dear to our constituency. As you know, a couple of years ago, we were wiping out an entire run of hatchery salmon with baseball bats 1 year, and then we electrocuted them another year on a river near our area. Very controversial. Not a very pleasant thing, extremely unpopular. We decided we ought to look into that, and we did. We decided to come forward with legislation to deal with it. We're simply asking that we don't do this practice, stop it for 2 years, convene a panel of six fish biologists who understand fish genetics and have them review the current information that's out there to reach some conclusion as to whether this is a necessary practice or not. Recently, as you probably have in your packets, you'll see that Washington State Legislature passed a very similar bill a couple of months ago, unanimously, both houses, and signed into law by the governor. And it prohibits the practice of clubbing adult hatchery salmon that mingle with native salmon. Same problem we have here. It's interesting to note that you're probably going to hear in a few minutes that our ODF&W doesn't really like this bill. The Fish and Wildlife Department of Washington State says this, and I quote Larry Peck, the department's deputy director, said that the agency was reworking its hatchery policies, just as we are, and was moving in that direction regardless. And this bill gives us the impetus to do it in a more expedited manner. That's really what we're trying to do here. We just want to bring forward a change in policy. We want to keep the pressure on our state agency. They're moving in a good direction. We like that. But yet they're unwilling to let go of this as a management tool. I think that's unfortunate because it's extremely unpopular. I think we have an opportunity here to do some other very good things, and I'm going to allow these other two fine gentlemen to expand a little more. We would ask that you move the A7s. They take care of the fiscal problem we had. We're going to spend $5,600 on this bill. That's all it does. We're not tying anybody's hands. We took care of all the problems we had and the concerns on the House side.
Talk to me about the threes and fours and sevens.
Mr. Chair, the threes and fours are amalgamated into the sevens, and the sevens are as good as we're going to get.
So the sevens and the sevens do what?
Well, the sevens clarify that unduly hindering doesn't mean fishing. It means other things like pinning them up and beating them to death with baseball bats. It allows us to do commercial fishing, scientific research, habitat projects, hatchery enhancement programs ad infinitum. It does a number of other things, too, that I'm going to let Ken Evans speak to here briefly, Mr. Chair.
Senator Menace and then Senator Beyer.
If we're not going to be beaten over the head with baseball bats, what are we going to do with them?
That's a great question, Mr. Chair and Senator Menace. The idea here is that the agency, instead of destroying an entire run of hatchery salmon in the hopes that then they can rebuild the wild stocks, which there are very few of, that we're going to make a more slow and methodical transition by taking better salmon stock, hatchery stock, raise them in the hatcheries, release them, and begin a more weighted and measurable change in the type of hatchery salmon stock that will try to mimic nature. And I think you're probably going to hear some other folks talk about that down the road. The point here is that one of the tools that the agency will still have is the ability to kill salmon for the purposes of taking their eggs and research those types of things. What we're talking about is saying you just can't go in and destroy 6,000 returning coho salmon and wipe out an entire run for a year. They did it for 2-3 years now at the Fall Creek Hatchery in LC. Those fishermen aren't going to have anything to fish because there will only be just a few fish.
In the waterway, we're going to fish them.
Pardon?
We're going to leave them in the waters, we're going to fish for them. Yes?
Exactly.
That was good to me.
Senator Beyer.
There, someone had raised a concern, and I'm just going to make sure it isn't here. They talked about this. There's nothing in these bill or these amendments that keep a fisherman from using, you know, the standard little club to kill the fish that they catch.
Mr. Chair and Senator Beyer, yes, that you're absolutely correct. They are exempted because that falls under sport and commercial fishing.
Okay.
We're talking about ODF and W putting a bunch of guys out there with baseball bats and beating salmon over the head that could be given away or could be recycled again for other fishermen to catch, that kind of thing. We're not talking about regular fishermen who have caught a fish and are going to club it over the head to end its life because they intend to take it home and eat it.
Is the dynamite exemption here also?
Well, Senator, maybe the napalm exemption for you.
All right, Representative Jensen.
Thank you, Chair Harper, and members of the committee. I'm State Representative Bob Jensen from House District 57. I chair the SR2 committee on the House side. This bill comes to you out of the SR2 committee, and recognizing that sometimes long speeches are more detrimental to our cause than short ones, I'm going to merely say that the SR2 committee was happy with this bill and urge your passage of it.
Thank you, Representative. Ken?
Yes, Chair Harper, members of the committee, my name is Ken Evans, representing the Fisheries Restoration Hansen Coalition. Real quickly, The A7s will reflect the unintended consequences in the A-engross version of the bill, and to answer Senator Byer's question in regards to the clubbing by sportsmen while they're fishing, or commercial fishermen who are clubbing them, obviously, to put them down on the cooler and things like that. So I talked with legislative council, sat down with them, and crafted some of these particular amendments that pretty much exempt most current practices of the department that that are important to protect, and the original bill didn't, or the bill in front of you without the sevens doesn't. If you look in the amendments on line 10.
Glenn, Jim Welsh, Bill, you guys have anything to add? Okay, let's get the opponents up here. Let's say Fish and Wildlife, Roy, Ed. Thank you.
I want Thompson. I want him.
And former Representative Thompson, you've been asked to participate in this. I want the, he's a dynamite guy. Roy.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Roy Elliker, legislative coordinator for the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife. On my right, Ed Bowles, division chief, Fish Division, Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife. I handed out a statement which goes towards the bill as in front of you now. It does not include information regarding the Dash 7 amendments, which I could get right to if the commission, if the chair would like.
Yeah, don't worry about it.
Get late to the session. Should I take that? Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Regarding the Dash 7 amendments, the Dash 7 amendments, sir, do go a long way towards helping the bill to be a lot more palatable or helpful for the department. I would say we do appreciate all the time and energy of Representative Krupp and some of the other legislators on this issue. It's been a difficult one for the department, and we intend to work closely in the interim with Representative Krupp and other legislators here, both here in the room and others who are very interested in the department's policy on wild fish, native fish, and hatchery policy. We are in the midst of putting together, conceptually, our new native fish conservation policy. It will replace our wild fish conservation policy. And regarding hatchery policy and wild fish policy in this state and federally, there are already several panels put together. Essentially, the panel that's in this bill would be a duplicate of several state and, not state, but several federal and one state panel already put together to review hatchery fish issues. The department would intend to move ahead with its native fish conservation policy and resultant new hatchery policy. And frankly, with this a two-year moratorium on the department moving ahead towards this new policy, it would just add some confusion and have the department slow down towards moving towards its new state policy regarding hatchery fish and wild fish.
You're accusing the legislature of causing confusion.
I'm not going to record going that far, Representative Harper, or Senator Harper, but anyway, that ends my prepared statements. Mr. Bull is here to answer any particular questions as to where we're at right now on state policy.
Thanks. Senator Cordy, you had a question for Representative Thompson.
Where are you?
On this one?
Right.
I just don't see how you're going to be able to operate the hatchery without at least some clubbing. I don't know how you do the monitoring. The bill's come a long ways, but it's just not completely able to be feasibly done. What happens is you have a lot of the killing areas that are out away from other types of devices that could be invented. It's isolated. And what I think we need to do is train your personnel on how to do it properly in a humane manner. That's where I am on it. It's some of the films and stuff I've seen were not done properly. There are right ways to do it, and yeah, if you've done it right, it's an instant death. It's death with dignity is what it is.
Actually, I've suggested the department change their policies to only do this at dark.
All right. One brief comment. We are going to have an awful lot of fish back at the hatcheries this year, and it is a problem, and I sympathize with where they want to go and the department situation, but I just don't see how we're going to be able to handle it.
We have so much fish, it's going to be a problem.
Yep.
Fish good for you?
What's a fellow to do? All right, thank you, gentlemen. I've got Oregon Trout, Aubrey Russell, Phil Donovan, Anybody else here?
The river down south that could use some of those.
Yeah, yeah, and buy them safely. Stuff like 99 pounds.
Sure. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, thank you for the opportunity to testify today. My name is Phil Donovan here on behalf of the Northwest Sport Fishing Industry, Northwest Steelheaders, and the Oregon Guides and Packers. Very briefly, we appreciate Representative Krupp's amendments, the Dash 87s, that address our concern that the bill would ban sport fishing with an overbroad definition of unduly hindering, so we appreciate his introduction of those. There's been a package of bills relating to the Department of Fish and Wildlife that have moved its way through the legislative body. Those bills and the accompanying agency budget, we believe, will bring about the communication and responsiveness that you desire of the agency. Our concern with this legislation is its potential to slow down the implementation of the native fish conservation policy and a subsequent hatchery policy. We're very anxious to see the agency bring about, bring forward, and begin to implement. Our organizations definitely believe that we need to follow the best science available, and the IMST, the Independent Multidisciplinary Science Team, already exists and is capable of handling the tasks that are outlined within this bill. So with that, I'll close. I appreciate the opportunity to speak today.
But why can't you leave them in the water? Just let them fish for them. They die one way or the other, don't they?
Mr. Chair, Senator Minnis, that's absolutely correct, except that at a certain point, those fish will swim their way into fish traps, you know, set up at weirs, different locations throughout river systems. And when they get into that trap, the question becomes, what do you do with it then? And a lot of times you want to, you know, produce it for food, for people who could make use of that fish. But oftentimes, you know, the salmon or steelhead is too dark. The meat's no good. It's not a good use of the fish. So
dark food is it.
And that's what they sell it for.
Senator Atkinson.
My only problem with the bill is that going to hatcheries, when a fish gets to the hatchery, you have to somehow use that fish properly to keep the hatchery going. That's the only problem. But some of the bigger hatcheries, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, Gary, shock the fish, right?
Some of the bigger ones.
But some of the, how are the littler ones going to do it?
You have to shoot them.
Representative Krupp, a brief answer, if you will.
I'd like to answer that. The A7 amendment, record of State Representative Jeff Krupp, District 37, says nothing in this, in line 10, first page, nothing in subsection shall prevent the department from performing actions consistent with state and federal laws. So those issues are taken care of. That's not what we're getting at here. We're not getting at normal hatchery packages. We're getting at the fact that ODF&W thought it was a wise thing to go out there and wipe out an entire run. They put a bunch of people out there with baseball bats, and then the next year they put a bunch of these fish in a weir and electrocuted them. Now, I think that's dumb. And like a whole lot of other people think it's dumb too, including a bunch of fish biologists within ODF&W, because we have internal memos from them saying this is a bad idea. That's what this bill is all about. It's not about keeping them from doing normal hatchery management practices. Yeah, you got to do some of that stuff. We're not saying they can't do that. But it's interesting, and to my good friend Phil here, how is this going to slow down the new implementation of their new policy if they say they're not going to do this anymore? Well, that's what worries me. If they say they're not going to do it anymore, then why are they objecting? Why is it going to slow anything down if they're not going to do it? It isn't. I just have real problems with you know, the agency coming forward saying, you know, this could create all kinds of problems for them. It didn't create any kind of problem for them. Because there's exemptions in here. We've taken care of that in the A7. They can handle the normal management practices.
Yes, Senator Minnis.
Do you have copies of those internal memos?
I can provide them for you. Yeah, they're in my other file.
Okay. I'd like to get a copy.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
For the record, I'm Aubrey Russell with the Oregon Trout. Jim Myron would have liked to have been here today, but was not available. So you're stuck with me. Oregon Trout opposes this bill and feels that these Dash 7 amendments don't make it look a whole lot better. The fundamental problem with such a moratorium is that it really discourages salmon recovery, leaving those fish in response to Senator Menace's question, leaving fish in the stream to interbreed with, compete with, outcompete with wild native listed fish, interferes with the state's efforts to recover salmon and other fish species.
This is kind of like an Aryan fish thing, isn't it?
There are certain fish species which are listed and protected. Okay. There are hatchery practices which interfere with that objective of conserving those fish.
I'm not sure that I really give a rip. I'm not sure how many people in the public give a rip.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm not sure how to respond to that.
Well, I mean, I really don't. I mean, I've heard some arguments, and have some people who say that, you know, that some of the hatchery fish, you know, don't adapt well to some, you know, to the environments and so on and so forth. But if that's true, then they're not going to propagate, they're not going to multiply, which kind of negates the question with respect to intermingling the species, because obviously they do propagate and multiply. And frankly, I don't care if we keep them.
The state really invests quite a bit in terms of trying to protect these listed species already in terms of improving water quality, in terms of protecting habitat, okay?
Well, whatever happened to evolution and stuff, you know, the natural selection, all that kind of stuff, aren't we kind of participating in all
through natural through natural production? So the state goes to great lengths and spends much money on natural production, which is consistent with its obligations under federal law. And is consistent with what a large majority, I think, of Oregonians feel they want, and that's why we have ballot measure 66. I don't think that the majority of Oregonians actually feel as you do. I think the majority of Oregonians want to see wild salmon spawning. They don't want to see salmon produced in concrete spillways and hatcheries uniquely. Yes, there is an opportunity to have hatchery fish and have sports fishing and provide all that commercial benefit. But the point is that the people managing hatcheries should have the opportunity to base that management decision on scientific evidence, not have a one-size-fits-all solution imposed on them saying you cannot remove hatchery fish. You know, frankly, if they don't have that flexibility, I think it's going to, because of their obligations under the federal ESA, it's going to prevent them from putting hatchery fish in a lot of streams. What's the logical result? That there's no more hatchery fish for your constituents to fish, since it's the logical result and you're discouraging angling and sports fishing. I wonder how happy these constituents will be once they see that those streams can no longer be managed, say, as a split basin or for mixed fisheries. So
you're way above my head.
Well,
you're way above me, Ari.
Let me address briefly the Dash 7.
We outlawed fin flipping for see what happens.
You know, let me just say about the Dash 7 amendments. My understanding, having learned about this a couple hours ago, is that we now have a moratorium on fish clubbing, and we're going to study something in the interim, presumably the effects of hatchery supplementation. This question has been looked at so often by the Northwest Power Planning Council, their ISAB, by the American Fisheries Society, by the IMST, that group of independent scientists which you created to advise the state of Oregon, the legislature created to advise yourselves and the state of Oregon. They've all already looked at this issue. The science is pretty clear. I'm not convinced that.
So how dare you mere mortals try and interfere with this? All right, Chair moves to Dash A7 for the discussion. Objection. Okay, hearing none, so ordered. Chair moves the House Bill 3809 as amended for the due pass recommendations.
The A7s take care of the other two?
Yeah, they took in there. Further discussion, objections, hearing none, so ordered. And Senator Ferrioli will carry this one.
That's sort of irritating.
That's it, is it?
That's it, yeah. With that, we are adjourned.